Hello, I'm Siobhan Fahey.
And I'm Marcella Detroit.
And this is our story.
I can't say that I wasn't a little apprehensive. I didn't know what to expect, if it was going to be, you know, do I need to bring my boxing gloves? But I just wanted to go with an open mind. You know, I was missing some resolution.
That's why we met up again. It wasn't with a plan to, oh, let's reform the band, but 5 days and we kind of wrote two fantastic songs that I really love. And as soon as we wrote those songs, I was like, this is magical. This is meant. Game on.
All the Queen's horses, all the Queen's men, they couldn't put us back together again.
Episode 2, Back Together Again.
Let's start at the most recent beginning. How did you guys come to meet up again and start Shakespeare's Sister up once more?
Well, it was a year ago, last May. I'd been in LA for a few months and we reached out to each other after 26 years. And I kept being like this rabbit that would pop out of the hole and then go back into the hole again, because it was a very, very huge and scary thing for me. I hate confrontation and I hate to talk about feelings. I'm much better brushing it under the carpet and pulling the drawbridge up, but you never really clear the air if you do that. Over the years, I learned that I was carrying this baggage around that I needed to deal with before I took it to my grave.
Yeah, I mean, we met in May. It's been a really cathartic full circle moment for me in my life musically. You know, I worked with Clapton again for the first time since 1985. Last year I joined him at his Hyde Park concert, which was amazing. And then this thing with Siobhan. So I mean, the universe is helping me here, you know, helping me resolve these issues.
It's really weird because what was happening with Marcy resolving her stuff with Eric, I resolved my stuff with Bananarama.
Right,
so
weird.
She was overdoing Eric Clapton. I was overdoing the summer festivals with Bananarama, and it was like something was going on astrologically and in terms of a life path that was about resolution.
Yeah.
And about coming full circle creatively. Mm. It was initially a mutual desire to resolve that pain.
Yeah.
That's why we met up again. It wasn't with a plan to, oh, let's reform the band, but, you know, I, at that point that I met up with Marcy again, was very, very, I was feeling very inspired and I was feeling pregnant with ideas and I wanted to make music again. And I thought, well, maybe I should think about writing some stuff with Marcy, you know, first. I mean, we always were great before, you know. That's where I was sort of throwing it around in my head. And as we got over our differences slowly, I think we thought, yeah, well, why not?
And what was that initial meeting like? What were your first impressions of each other after 26 years?
There was this sort of strange emotional like wave that came over me when I saw her, and we both hugged each other awkwardly and we got lumps in our throats. It was unexpected.
You know, I just wanted to go with an open mind. I was missing some resolution with our relationship. So I was happy to go with an open mind and see if we could actually talk through things, at least start the conversation.
What we realized on that first conversation and subsequent conversations is that we really didn't understand each other or communicate terribly well back then. And
why was that?
Well, we were from very different musical backgrounds.
And cultural.
And culturally. Very different.
Most importantly.
And so we didn't read each other well.
Mm-mm.
And there was always a really brilliant, kind of magical, easy, creative connection. Like whenever we wrote songs together, we just flowed really easily. We were on the same page. That bit was always easy. But the actual getting each other as people, I don't think we got each other as people back then.
No.
And certainly the environment that we were both in and from and how we came together didn't really enable that, you know.
I mean, there's been a lot of speculation about the reasons that Shakespeare's Sister fell apart in the end after 4 years. What really happened?
was no one moment. It was a gradual denouement. It was like this icy wall got higher and higher between us, and then the talking stopped.
And then it would just...
Yeah. There were tensions. Mm. It's a tricky relationship.
Yeah.
It requires great sensitivity and communication, and that's the one thing that I wasn't really very good at the time, to be able to have open communication about feelings.
How do you get over something so public as that and so dramatic, it seems?
Just by sitting down and having a coffee, as it turns out.
Yeah.
It sounds like it wasn't just about a resolution emotionally, but creatively there's a pull between you two. There's something that's magic. What is that that's pulled you together after all this time?
It really feels like the beginning of something really amazing, and basically decided we'd go out to the desert, throw ourselves in the deep end, go out to the desert for 5 days, just the two of us, get an Airbnb.
Yeah, we had no chaperones. It was quite scary.
Yeah.
Joshua Tree can be quite spooky late at night, in the wee hours.
It can be. It's so silent out there. It's quite brutal, but yet there's something so beautiful.
Otherworldly and magical. It's like being on another planet.
It really is.
Yeah. Yeah, so 5 days, and we wrote two fantastic songs that I really love. And as soon as we wrote those songs, I was like, this is magical. This is meant. This is meant to be. These are like the best songs I've written for years. And it's everything I dreamt of. And I was just like, game on.
No golden kisses. No velvet throne.
What is it about this noirish Americana of your new sound that sort of fitted your current mood?
I've been living in LA since 2012, and I'd kind of reached the end of the road with DJing and electro glam, and, you know, I'd drained all my British influences, and I never wanted to hear another drum machine. And just living in LA, I started to listen to more organic Americana that worked with the incredible vast landscape there. Started to really, you know, listen to a lot of Neil Young, and then got obsessed with Lee Hazelwood and more psychedelic side of the spaghetti western landscape, and really wanted to make a record that was inspired by that and Morricone.
Yeah, I was actually really surprised that that's what Siobhan was interested in. But in fact, I thought it was very interesting, and I wanted to learn more about it. It worked for me because it's really just an offshoot of the music that I was brought up with and that I know. Blues and a little bit of soul and R&B. So I think our music is a combination of that.
I mean, it was just the two of us out there in the desert, and I have the ideas, but Marcy has the musical genius and the technical ability to translate all these ideas into this wonderful new soundtrack. And all I had to do was give her the roadmap. And that's when I went, oh my God, not only had I forgotten how brilliant she is, but she's even more brilliant now than she used to be. And this is a really magical union creatively, and it always was. And how could I have, you know, blocked it for 26 years through my pride.
Pride does crazy things.
Yeah.
I mean, computer programming wasn't really the thing. And then it was all of a sudden technology took over, and it was all about sound design and who can get the weirdest, coolest sounds. And I learned how to do it. And I brought my little portable studio set up and brought my laptop. It's so amazing what you can do, all the virtual instruments that are accessible. All you need is like this MIDI keyboard. And I brought my guitars and harmonicas, ukuleles.
How did then Nick Launay end up coming to produce your new music? You went to a gig together, right?
Yeah, we started hanging out from time to time, and I was going to see Nick Cave with my friend Nick Launay, who produced the last 5 Bad Seeds albums, and I invited Marcy to come along. Nick's one of my best friends in LA. We met a few years ago and we started hanging out, and he's a wonderful person as well as being a fantastic producer. So as soon as Marcy and I had written those songs in the desert, I just sent him them the demos from the desert going, God, listen to this, we've just written this song. And he immediately emailed me back going, I don't know what you're taking, but it's working.
That's right. That was so cool, yeah, how that all kind of happened just organically. I discovered when Siobhan was talking about him producing the record that I actually worked with him in my Clapton days in 1984 when I joined his band for the second time. This has all just come together. The universe has said, and you shall work together, and you shall have Nick produce your record. And you shall also have Larry Mullins, who's a drummer from Nick Cave's Bad Seeds, playing on the record.
Wow.
Which is amazing. He's an incredible drummer and amazing with dynamics and performance and skill. It's just brilliant.
All the Queen's Horses, a fantastic new single, the first single that you guys are putting out. It's all about a doomed love affair. Is that a comment on your relationship?
Well, you know, you never know. Be careful what you write. I found that over the years that I've written a song and I've been thinking I've been writing about one thing, and then it's only with the benefit of hindsight that I realise that I was actually writing about something else. But in this case, I was actually writing about a doomed love affair, and I was in a lot of pain from the fallout of that. But those feelings are universal, and it, you know, it's that feeling of heartbreak and anger and hurt and all the turmoil of those conflicting feelings, which totally applied to, I think, our feelings about each other. And it was really bizarre when I sent the demo to Peter in London, the manager. He went, oh my God, that's brilliant. You've written about you and Marcy. And I was like, huh?
You had no idea.
Maybe subconsciously. Well, that's the beauty of art, though. It crosses those boundaries and those lines, and it's up to interpretation.
And it's been interpreted in the music video as well. What was that like working with Sophie Miller again?
It was like coming home.
It was amazing.
I mean, you know, the thing about Shakespeare's Sister is it's almost as well known for its visuals as for its music. And visually, the videos were works of art by Sophie Muller. Mm-hmm. She was as much a part of that as we were.
Absolutely.
And we were her muses. And it created great work. And she was very inspired by and plundered the difficulties between me and Marcy.
Yeah, she used it.
It makes for groundbreaking videos because it's so honest and laughs at the difficulties we had with each other and the sort of mutual paranoia and insecurities. And when Sophie heard the demo of Queen's Horses, and she loved it, and I said, do you think you might do the video if we get a budget? And she was going, absolutely. It was a dream come true.
I couldn't believe it
really
when you told me.
And yeah.
There's a drag queen, Marcy, and a drag queen, Siobhan.
Yeah.
Genius. Did you feel like the best way to deal with the past was using a bit of humour?
Yeah, I mean, it was a way of you know, laughing at ourselves. And Sophie came up with the idea of, oh, she said, do you know any drag queens? I said, in fact, I do. I know this amazing one named Morgan McMichaels. And a friend of mine introduced me to her, and we went to go see her show when we were just in L.A.
She's amazing.
Incredible. So I contacted her, and I said, would you be interested? She was a big fan of ours anyway, and she said, are you kidding me? So she came and brought another drag queen, and they did a fantastic job.
Yeah. I mean, the video is like all the other videos insofar as it does laugh at our mutual insecurities, and I think that's the best way to handle it, you know. In fact, in one of our videos, there was a big sign that was, if you didn't laugh, you'd cry.
That's for sure.
And it's like the ballad of Shove and Marcy, the continuing story of. And Sophie wanted to do something. Yeah, we need to write that, don't we?
Your next track is called See You Next Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Which is so perfect. A bit of that sort of subversive humour again coming through. What's that track like? How would you describe that song?
Yeah, it's a swaggering slab of soulful rock and roll.
Yeah.
With a wink.
With a wink.
With a wink, yeah.
Yeah, it's cheeky. It's about surviving.
Moving
it's
on.
It's about picking yourself up and embracing the joy of life.
You've been listening to Ride Again, the Shakespeare Sister story, presented by Kate Hutchinson.
Our story continues next week. Head to Spotify and Apple Podcasts for further episodes.